Hello and welcome to the Headache Doctor Podcast. Today on the Headache Doctor Podcast, we're going to talk about why women are more likely, actually 2 to 3 times more likely, to experience a headache or migraine in their lifetime. And as always, this is part of our mission to empower and educate everyone with headaches and migraines to break free from that life of fear, dependence on medication, and to thrive in everything you do. And oftentimes in our clinic, well, what we're sort of designed around is this target demographic of women, and specifically in sort of this range of 20-something to 40, 50-something-year-old women that suffer with headaches and migraines. And so we're going to break that down and talk about why women are 2 to 3 times more likely to experience migraines. And hopefully this is enlightening and empowering for the women out there that have suffered with migraines and are trying to navigate life or navigate the healthcare system and find treatment. So first off, just some statistics that we found from migraineresearchfoundation.org. So migraine affects about 28 million women in the U.S. 85% of chronic migraine sufferers are women. And it's interesting, before puberty, boys are affected more than girls, but during adolescence, the risk of migraine and its severity rises in girls. So it kind of switch before puberty, boys are more likely, and then after it's girls. Roughly 1 in 4 women will experience migraine in their lives. That's a very, very high percentage of women that will at least get some migraine symptoms at some point. 3 times as many women as men suffer from migraine in adulthood. About half of female sufferers have more than one attack each month, and a quarter experience 4 or more severe attacks per month. 4 or more severe attacks. This is really who we're, even the one a month, any migraine symptoms are debilitating, but oftentimes we do see those women that are experiencing 4 or more severe attacks per month as it's debilitating and they can't live their life. They can't hang out with their kids. They can't go to work. Whatever it is that their life requires of them, it's being interrupted by migraines. And then we're going to talk about hormones and how hormones play into this, because that can be a big factor when talking about why women might be more susceptible to having migraines. And again, I have Dr. Storzbach with me. So Dr. Storzbach, let's start off with talking about kids and why we see this prevalence in boys and maybe why it shifts to girls after puberty and that sort of thing.
Yeah, so in boys, obviously before puberty, they tend to actually get into a little bit more physical stuff, I would argue. And so definitely with kids, we'll see injuries in the head and neck, such as falling off a trampoline, maybe getting in a falling down the stairs. And then we also see it in with females in gymnastics and dancing. And so there's definitely, you know, those younger children that just tend to have these neck and head injuries. And because they're kids, sometimes, you know, we think kids are very resilient, you know, oh, they fell down, but once they, you know, finish crying, they're probably fine. They kind of move on with their day, but that actually can set them up, you know, later on, you know, the next day or years down the road to kind of have sometimes this neck injury that can lead into headaches and migraines.
Yeah, absolutely. So kids in general are very active and we want them to be active. And oftentimes, as Dr. Storzbach, you just said that, yeah, there's these sort of micro injuries that can occur and they can compound on each other. And we see it all the time that it's almost some of the more challenging people to get in the clinic are these kids, because the parents see their kids when they have a headache or a migraine as just being resilient enough, bounce back, they'll grow out of it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not... I have a 2-year-old, almost a 2-year-old, and I by no means want to like coddle her or play into like an injury or scraped knee or that sort of thing, make it worse than it is, because oftentimes kids can do that. But I also want to know what I need to address and take seriously. And this headache or migraine pain pattern in kids is always something to take seriously, because we are more commonly seeing the 30, 40, 50-year-old who has had migraines since they were in adolescence, mm-hmm. or a teenager, or maybe in college. And that injury happened when they were a kid. And so if we can address it as a kid, think of all the days of their life that they've lost to migraines that we can save them from. So why might it be more prevalent in boys? And why does that transition happen to girls? What do you think is happening there?
So that definitely has to do with hormone levels. You know, after puberty, females will start their menstrual cycle, which will change their estrogen levels. And we know that estrogen changes our pain threshold. Actually, the more estrogen generally actually raises our pain threshold, meaning you can actually tolerate a little bit more pain. But then once a month, that estrogen level will drop dramatically and very quickly, and they'll be more likely to experience pain and therefore more likely to potentially experience a headache or migraine around that time. So we'll see that pattern quite a bit, where a lot of our patients will come and say, oh, it started, you know, around 11, 12 or kind of around that time. And it was always just once a month for a while. But then as time went on, it got more and more frequent. And I used to think, okay, it was just my menstrual cycle and maybe I can manage this. And then it gets to the point where it is way too frequent and, you know, they're suffering more and more. And so I would argue that estrogen has a huge role potentially in females and migraines, but it's not necessarily the cause, because then why would we see these women go from once a month to four times a month to 25 times a month when their estrogen levels, you know, are changing, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's the cause of their headache. It's just kind of throwing them into that pattern.
Yeah, absolutely. And then that's really what distinguishes these young women from the boys. So if we think like middle school, high school age, these girls, so they both take a boy and a girl that have the same neck injury. The theory here, what we're talking about, is when that girl hits the age of puberty, she starts having her menstrual cycle, those estrogen levels drop once a month. Even with the same injury, she might be more likely to experience the migraine pain, the migraine symptoms, or the head or facial pain, because the estrogen levels dropping drops her threshold and what she's able to tolerate. Mm-hmm. Whereas the boy will just kind of, without that change or fluctuation in hormones like the girl, won't necessarily be as susceptible to that, even though they might have the same injury. And then another distinction with these young girls, we see it oftentimes, as you mentioned earlier, dance, gymnastics, maybe cheer, things like that, that maybe they're tumbling, doing flips, stunts, that maybe they fall, or maybe just the stunt itself, their neck isn't stable enough to sort of brace or stabilize itself during that activity. And so that could be something else that sort of puts girls in this higher chance of having the neck injury. Mm-hmm. But definitely estrogen levels are the, when we step back and think about logically what's happening, that seems to be the most likely scenario. Mm-hmm. Not that it's causing their migraines, but that it's changing their threshold for what they can tolerate. So as we get into adulthood and we're looking at the hormones and how do we sort of manage that? What do we do with estrogen levels? What's the best approach to take for someone who is maybe in their 20s or 30s and has had migraines for years, maybe since they were a little girl, and they're trying to figure out what to do?
So if they went to go see their primary care, a lot of times they'll, you know, sometimes go for medication such as, oh, once a month, if it's kind of predictable, maybe preemptively take some ibuprofen or NSAIDs. They might prescribe triptans, things like that. The other thing they'll look at for the hormone piece is a type of birth control to try to keep their estrogen levels very steady. Now, the thing is, if you have migraine, especially with aura, that is a subsect of people that they do not want to prescribe estrogen-heavy birth control, because there is potentially more of a correlation to stroke or blood clots. And so with those people, they will generally say, well, we can try a very low dose of estrogen or more like a progesterone-type birth control, something like that, to try to keep those level steady. The other thing is, you know, normal birth control has that fourth week where it's more of like just a sugar pill or placebo pill. But again, what that what happens is they're giving you estrogen for 3 weeks, and then again it drops suddenly. And so sometimes that's still too much of a fluctuation for these migraine sufferers. But a lot of times, as far as medication, that's kind of what the doctor will go to is probably trying some kind of birth control to see if they can manage those fluctuations.
Yeah. And aside from that, the recommendations that we've seen in clinic and then found online are to, if you have a regular cycle and you can predict when this might happen, to sort of prophylactically or preventatively, so getting ahead of it, take like an NSAID or a triptan. That was the common recommendation. Mm-hmm. And so really that's just saying, treat the symptoms via medication around that time of the month because it's predictable, not because those medications are changing anything about your hormones, but it's going to sort of blunt the force of the migraine during that time. And you can take those medications because you can kind of predict when that's going to happen. And then, of course, the other recommendations were like ice, relaxation techniques, acupuncture. Those were the recommendations outside of medication. But as far as medication, it was NSAIDs, triptans, and then these CGRP drugs, which are some of the newer classifications of drugs. And we've talked about those all before on the podcast. And so if you're interested in the classifications of drugs and what those mean and how those might affect you, go back several weeks to where we talk about medications and what you should know about medications. But moving from there, so we have the 20, 30, 40 something year old woman who's dealing with migraines. Maybe they're hormonally related, meaning once a month, that's usually the diagnosis that you'll receive is a hormone related migraine if it's truly once a month around your cycle. Now, what about the person out there who has a migraine around that time of the month, but has migraines other times? What's going on there?
So again, yeah, I would argue that that is actually a neck issue that's probably been going on for quite some time. And so because those other times that their estrogen levels are not fluctuating, but they're still getting a headache, there's something underlying there. It's probably a tension type headache or a cervicogenic or neck induced headache that is popping up and they're just unable to manage. And they could be having other triggers that aren't necessarily their cause, but it could be another trigger such as red wine or weather change and stuff like that can also kind of push people over that threshold. But what's happening is they're kind of always sitting right below that pain threshold with their tension level, with their neck issue. And so until that's addressed, they'll probably keep spiking into their headaches.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have seen both types. We've seen the patient that has a hormone-related migraine where once a month, it's very predictable with their cycle. And oftentimes their question when they come in is, if this is hormone-related, how will your treatment approach benefit me? And really it just comes down to we're treating that source of pain and the estrogen level is fluctuating how your body responds to it. It's changing your threshold. And so we don't do anything to change your estrogen levels, but we can address the source of pain because all women have this change in estrogen levels, but all women don't have migraines. Mm-hmm. And so if it truly was hormones driving it, then you'd almost anticipate every woman would have some sort of a migraine symptom around that time of the month. Mm-hmm. And so what distinguishes migraine women with migraines and women without migraines is this neck issue. And that's what we've seen over and over again in the clinic and what we're so passionate about treating. And so what's the outlook? So let's say someone is unable to undergo treatment like we offer, which is unfortunate because we can help you virtually, we can help you in person. But let's say they don't get treatment on their neck. What's sort of the life cycle of migraines and why might that change as they head into perimenopause, postmenopause, that type of thing?
Well, it'll actually change a lot of times during pregnancy. If the woman decides to get pregnant, we'll actually notice sometimes if they had migraines prior, their migraines get better during pregnancy, and that's because of their estrogen levels. But then what will happen is right after they give birth, their estrogen levels drop so dramatically that they'll, again, get kind of a revengeance migraine that comes on. And some women won't get their first migraine until after childbirth. So there's definitely a correlation there with pregnancy and childbirth that we'll see either a decrease or increase of headaches and migraines. So that'll happen in that that time period. But then they'll get closer to perimenopause, and then even postmenopause is actually when we'll see a large drop off. And that's, again, because their hormone levels have stabilized a bit. And so, like you said, we normally have this subsect of between 20 and 40, 50 year olds that tend to have higher migraine risk, we'll say, or incidence. But then after, when their hormones stabilize, we'll see a drop. And that's kind of the lifespan of migraines.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a good sort of distinction with pregnancy, because we do see that quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I would say more commonly it is that when a woman's pregnant, they will not have migraines. They'll kind of have this period of mm-hmm. of respite from their symptoms, and then after they'll come back. But we have had patients that during their pregnancies, it gets really bad, mm-hmm. and they actually have to they're more likely to undergo treatment like we offer, because their OBGYN can't prescribe any of the traditional pain medications that they were on mm-hmm. Because they're pregnant. And so that can be a really tough thing. So if you're pregnant currently and dealing with migraines and listening to this, this is maybe even more important to figure this out mm-hmm. Because you can't utilize medication to blunt the symptoms or the frequency of your symptoms. And so we need to take a natural approach to this and figure out what's going on mm-hmm. in your neck. And then we rarely, it happens, but we rarely see patients, men or women, kind of after the 65 range, mm-hmm. Just because migraine frequency and intensity just kind of drops off a little bit. Mm-hmm. Now, occasionally there will be people in that demographic that will come in, and oftentimes they'll have more of a chronic daily headache or a tension type headache. That in that category, oftentimes if you have a new onset, if you're listening to this and you have a new onset of head pain, it makes more sense to go through the traditional route of getting imaging and things like that. And then if they can't figure anything out, then to come to us. But if you're 20, 30 something, and you've been dealing with chronic migraines, then it is time for you to go the more natural approach and have someone like us treat your neck, reach out to us so that we can help you. And then our take-home message for today is not to let this idea that hormones are impacting your migraines be the only treatment approach. The hormone therapy shouldn't be the only treatment approach, or medication during your or before your cycle shouldn't be your only treatment approach. And then for the parents out there, if your daughter is hitting middle school, high school, and starting to present with migraines, even if they're infrequent, this needs to be something that you take seriously, and you need to take action on it and reach out to us. And even if we're not necessarily speaking directly to your situation, but we've hit on some things that cause you to think and wonder if you should take the approach that we're recommending, then reach out to us and we can kind of help you navigate that. Any final thoughts, Dr. Storzbach?
I guess with the kids we're talking about is I do think the incidence of headache and migraine is going up, mostly because of schoolwork on computers now with COVID, people doing schoolwork on couches and in weird situations and that sort of thing. So I do think as a parent, you know, just really being aware of, you know, what your kid's going through, and if they are presenting with these, you know, the sooner we can get them in, the better, because it's easier to treat younger rather than later in life.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's great. And that's something that parents need to hear, because again, I feel like we overlook the effect that a sedentary lifestyle has on us, mm-hmm. the impact that it has on us, and especially on our kids. And we always want to promote an active lifestyle, and especially in kids. But there are just some sort of boundaries or parameters that we would recommend parents put around those activities, especially if their son or daughter has been experiencing headaches. But activity is always a good thing. So definitely don't take away from this that you should pull your kid out from different activities and make sure they, you know, live in a bubble so that they don't get injured, because that's not there's things that happen because of that too. So have your kid get active, but pay attention to if they ever tell you they have a headache, neck pain, because that is not a normal thing, even though it might be common. It's not something that is normal in how the body should function or react, and something that should be treated. Thanks again for listening to the Headache Doctor podcast. I hope you found this episode helpful. And as always, it's our mission to empower everyone with headaches and migraines to break free from a life of fear and dependence and thrive in everything you do. Stay tuned next time for another helpful podcast.